Now, the book of Philemon is a private letter from Paul to Philemon. Now, when you read the New Testament, you see there was four letters written by Paul to individuals. You had 1st and 2nd Timothy, you have Titus, and then following those pastoral epistles, you have this letter to Philemon. Now, it is only one of its kind written by the Apostle Paul, and it is the shortest of all his epistles. It contains just 25 verses. Now, Philemon, he lived in Colossae. He was a man of some means. He was a member of the church there at Colossae. Now, the Apostle Paul had won Philemon to Christ, and Philemon happened to be a fine Christian man who had a slave named Onesimus. Now, in some way, Onesimus had committed a crime against his master, Philemon. He had robbed Philemon, and then he fled to Rome. Now, while in Rome, he was apprehended, and he was put into prison. It was there that he met the Apostle Paul. Paul then witnessed to that man, won him to Christ there in prison. Now, Paul then writes a letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. In fact, the book of Philemon is a letter written by Paul to Philemon, asking him to accept Onesimus back. He sends a letter with Onesimus pleading mercy for this runaway slave. Now, it has well been said that the letter from Paul to his friend Philemon is the finest specimen of early personal Christian correspondence. It was written to commend a returning runaway thieving slave to his master. Now, with characteristic generosity and deep sense of importance of maintaining a standard of righteousness, Paul offers to be surety for this man. Onesimus agrees to meet every responsibility as to his past evil doing. He knew the life of Onesimus had been changed completely by the grace of God, and so he unhesitatingly requests Philemon to receive him, no longer as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. In a sense, all of us are God's Onesimi. For in this incident, we have a striking picture of our lost condition by nature and by practice, and then God granting his divine grace on our behalf. The letter sets forth most beautifully the great truths of forgiveness on the grounds of a sacrifice of another and then being accepted in the beloved. This letter furnishes us with one of the most delightful pictures of the grace of God as revealed in the gospel that we could ever expect to find. Like Onesimus, we have all wronged our rightful Lord and our master. We have misused his mercies, trampled on his grace, and robbed him by applying for our own selfish purposes that which he had entrusted to us to be used for his honor and his glory. But the Lord Jesus had paid all our debt. He discharged every obligation of the broken law of God, and now we can come to the Father in his name, assured of a welcome, and knowing that we shall not only be forgiven, but that we are now accepted in the beloved and brought into the very family of God. It should ever be our happy privilege, as it is a great responsibility to manifest that same grace to others that we ourselves have been given. Now, when you read this little letter, there is an outline of the book. Paul writes concerning Philemon. Notice what it says in verse 1 through 3. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminds Philemon then that he prays for him. Look at verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Then he reminds Philemon that he thanks God for his Christian faith characterized by his love in verse 5 through 7. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Then Paul admits that Onesimus is a sinner, and that Onesimus had done Philemon wrong. He tells of Onesimus' flight to Rome. Look at verses 8 through 14. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech ye, being such as one as Paul the agent, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech ye for my son Onesimus. So it sounds like Paul won Onesimus, amen, to the Lord while he was in prison, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, I'll therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that the benefit should not, as it were of necessity, not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Then he intercedes for Onesimus. Look at verse 15 through 21. For perhaps he thought there, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self beside. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And then he closes out this epistle in verses 22 through 25. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, when you look at this letter, you see the picture of the gospel. When you look at Philemon, he is a picture of the Father. He has been sinned against by someone. Then you see Onesimus, he's a type of man who has sinned against the Father, and because of his sin, he's been separated from him and on the run. Now, Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all Onesimi. We have all fled from God. We have all separated ourselves from him due to sin. Then Paul is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul tells Philemon to put Onesimus' sins on his account, look at verse 18. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on what? Mine account. Now, this pictures the fact that our sins are placed on Christ's account. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, it is evident that Onesimus had robbed his master. He owned up to that. And Paul offers to settle everything for him, even as our blessed Lord paid all our debt upon the cross, that we might be justified from all iniquity. You know, no matter what we have done, it can be forgiven. The only unforgivable sin is that is not accepting God's sacrifice for our sin, not believing in Christ's finished work on Calvary. All other sin can be and will be forgiven. Now, Paul tells Philemon to receive Onesimus as he would himself. Look at verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him what? As myself. Now, Paul pictures the Savior. And this is a picture of Jesus paying the price for our sins. When he paid the price for our sins, he paid them in full, past, present, and future sins. He robed us in his righteousness. We are redeemed, amen, thereby enabling God the Father to receive us just as he would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Picture Paul coming to see Philemon. Now, these two have known each other for a while. They have become close friends. Paul had won Philemon to Jesus. Now, when Paul would see Philemon again, don't you think it would be a wonderful reception? Don't you think Philemon would be glad to see the Apostle Paul, the man who led him to the Lord and did so much for him? What a wonderful reception. Well, Paul pleads for this same reception for Onesimus. Here's a picture of Jesus pleading for us at the right hand of God the Father. Now, what a beautiful picture is this of our acceptance in Christ. In the case of a saved sinner, it is through our Lord that he presents us to the Father. And you know what? It's as if he says, if thou count me as a partner, receive him as myself. You see, we are complete in him. And you know what? He accepts us in the Beloved. You know, he says to the Father, thou hast loved them even as thou hast loved me. What a wonderful thought. He says that in John 17, 23. How foolish Onesimus would have been if on the way back to Philemon, he would have thrown Paul's letter away. The letter that undertook his cause. There can be no greater folly than to ignore the mediatorial work of Christ and seek to approach God on one's own merits, because we have none. Then Paul beseeches Philemon not to receive Onesimus as a servant, but as a brother beloved. Look at verse 16. Now, not as a servant, speaking of Onesimus, he's talking to Philemon, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, and how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, here's a picture of the sinner coming to Christ. Now, we can come back to the Father because of Jesus. But when we come back, we do not come back as a servant. We come back as a brother, beloved, a brother to our older brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our elder brother. We come back to a higher standing than we had before the fall. In other words, when we come to the Father through Jesus, we are as welcome as Jesus is when he comes to the Father. What a wonderful truth, and what a wonderful little book this book of Philemon is. Then notice this. Onesimus is to be received forever. Look at verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now, just as verse 16 says, he should be received, but now, not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. And then verse 17 says, receive him as myself. And verse 15 says, receive him what? Forever. Now, wouldn't that be a picture of our eternal salvation? You know, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God saved me forever. The gift of God is what? Eternal life. You know, oftentimes when I'm soul winning, I'll ask a person, you know, the question, when I get to that point, I said, now, if I am in possession of this gift of eternal life, is there any possibility I could perish and go to hell? And some of them say, well, maybe. I said, is that what God says? God says it's what? Eternal. It doesn't say temporary. It doesn't depend on me. It depends on God's gift. And if I am one who received that gift, there's no possibility I could go to hell. It is what? Eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life, no matter what. Once we become a child of God, we're His forever. Forever sons and sons forever. I like that. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us so. Look at Romans chapter 8. This is one of my favorite passages, Romans chapter 8. And look what it says in verse 35 through the end of the chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Our persecution? No. Our famine? No. Our nakedness, our peril, our sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, for we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I've showed some people that, and they said, well, it doesn't mention sin. I said, but it does say all things. Wouldn't that include sin? Folks, we are kept by God, amen, and we are in His hand. We're in the hand of the Son, in the hand of the Father, and we're sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Look at 1 John 5:13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? That ye may what? That ye have what? What kind of life? And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know, when God gives us a gift of eternal life, it's not temporary. His salvation, the one that He saves man by, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, it always lasts forever. Listen, have you ever noted how often in the Bible occurs a promise that God will keep His own? For example, He'll keep thee as the apple of His eye. He will keep thee in all thy ways. He will keep thy foot from being taken. Lest any hurt thee, He will keep thee day and night. He'll keep thee as a shepherd does his flock. He'll keep thee from the evil that is in the world. He'll keep thee from falling. He'll keep thee from the hour of temptation. He will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. He will keep thee in the way and bring thee into the place which He has prepared for you. He will keep that which thou hast committed unto Him against that day. You know, when I first got saved, I remember somebody telling me, well, you can lose your salvation. And I looked at them, I said, well, then I don't want it. If it's up to me to keep, I can't keep it. Why bother? I mean, it would be a thing that I'm always constantly getting saved. I can't keep up with all that nonsense. But God saved us and He keeps us. He forgave us all our sins. His work on the cross is finished. When we come to Christ, He receives us forever. What a wonderful picture of salvation. Philemon pictured as the Father, Paul as the Savior, and Onesimus the sinner. And it's all by mercy. God not giving us what we deserve. The letter of Philemon is type of the Word of God. What did Onesimus bring when he returned to Philemon? Did he say, hey, Philemon, I turned over a new leaf. I'm being good. I got out of prison. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Did he bring his own goodness? Not at all. Did he promise he's going to turn over a new leaf? No. He was guilty. He could not pay his own debt. The only hope he had was if Philemon would honor the letter that Paul had written to Philemon. Now here's a type of a sinner. And our only hope is for God to honor his word. Remember, there was an old Scottish, reading about this old Scottish woman, and she was dying. And this preacher came over and started talking to her. And he asked her, he said, you know, he says, do you know that you're saved? And she says, oh, yeah. She says, I'm standing on the rock. And he says, well, what if you slip beneath the rock? She says, well, then God will do more damage to his name by allowing me to go to hell than, you know, what he has promised me, and he would keep his word to me that my salvation is forever. God will honor his word. The word of God is our hope for heaven. Just as the letter was Onesimus' hope for restoration and acceptance before Philemon. Then notice Paul's a soul winner here. Now, wherever Paul was, he was winning souls. Here he is, an old man. He's about to be beheaded. His trial's coming. He's not going to probably live much longer. And yet he's still witnessing to prisoners and to those who are guarding him. You know, he took the opportunity that he had to share the gospel wherever he was. You know, he didn't become so self-absorbed with the problems he was facing. You know, a lot of us have that tendency, don't we? Things aren't going our way. We're having a tough time. All we think about is ourselves. We never think about sharing our faith with someone else who needs the Lord. We're too concerned about ourselves. But here, you know what? If you find out that you go out and start sharing your faith with others, you're going to find out that the problem you're facing that you're all consumed with isn't all that big of a deal. Paul was a soul winner no matter where he was. You know, he was setting people free while they were behind bars, and they became free in Jesus Christ. You know, what a sweet story of redemption we have in the book of Philemon. Now, in addition to all that Paul asked Philemon to do, there is also the observation of the great change that had taken place in Onesimus. Paul had witnessed personally the fruit of his salvation. Now, Onesimus did not come back because he was good. He came back because of the letter and he had Paul write, and Paul was an intercessor, and he was willing to pay his price. However, he was a changed man because of salvation. Ask yourself, this much I know, when I got saved, I was a changed man. I'm not the same person I was. And you ought to thank God for that. What changes has God made in your life since you got born again? I hope there's been some. This much I know. When I got saved, I knew there were some things in my life that were incompatible with the Christian faith. There was some things. There was just about everything. And so I had to work on some things. I prayed about victory over some things. And you know what? I thank God that he's given me victory. There's still some things he's working on me about. But I'm telling you, there ought to be a change. Someone said, if you are what you were, you ain't. There should be some changes in you. The grace that we have received at salvation ought to teach us to what? Live godly and righteously. Amen? How's that grace of God working in your life tonight? All right, we'll stop right there. The wonderful little book of Philemon.